Thank you. Deya Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna. This is. I want to say it's a comment on my voice, not on the song. Yes. Deya Radha Madhava. Kunya vihadi Kunya vihadi Kunya vihadi Kopira na vallava iri varadadi Kopira na vallava Iri varadadi Yasoda nandana praja janadana Sodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamunati Ravana Shadi Yamuna tira vana chadi Ireya dadha madhava Kunya vihadi Deya Dadha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada,
Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Gaya Radha, Kanya Vihari Radha, Kanya Vihari Radha. Jaya Radha, Kanya Vihari Radha, Kanya Vihari Radha. Sisi go nitai ki nidayom vishnupada paramahansa paravraja kacharya astata satasi simatisti vaingres sila ave charanaravinda sila bhakti vedanta swami maharaja sila pavupada ki jai anant koti vaishnavrinda ki jai iskon founder acharya sila pavupada ki jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Go Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Samavita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Haribo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutari Smilvati Anta Samiti Amita Stira Satiri Ego Vani Vajrami 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 Vajrami.
I feel extremely sorry, but I have bad news for you. Retreat is finishing. Bus. Okay, done. Finito. Of course, there's something good in this. You have changed. There's some good result. You have changed. We could see that yesterday in the atmosphere, and there were two guests who came to me who had just been able to come for the day. They had to take care of their children, and I said, I'm very happy that you have come, and I encouraged them and bring happiness to our heart. And they said, we can see what went on in this retreat by looking at the devotees. They are all like walking light bulbs. They are so effulgent, so blissful. And we were just taking care of our children at home, and one person said, I was working, making furniture. I missed out on this. They could see, in other words, as guests, that a level of consciousness had been reached and was visible and feelable and perceivable in this temple room, which was profound, it was real, something deep was there. So yes, you have changed, and that is good. But the problem is the world has not changed to which you will go back. And we human beings adopt to atmospheres. This is good. In one way, it's good that when we are in a positive atmosphere, we take on the impulses and we become positive. Even though maybe you saw yesterday in the windows, there were all these Dragi Gostis, these dear guests from the village, and they were looking, and I mean, they also, when they went, they said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is what we do, we human beings. We take on atmospheres like sponges. Sponges, you know. They are the things which go and take on water. That's good. But it's a problem when the atmosphere to which we return is the same like it was before we went on retreat. It's a severe problem because we will, and every one of you knows it, go just like we went here and became effulgent. We will go there in the world and become depressed or less effulgent or less inspired, or our rounds will not be what they were here. Our kirtan will be a struggle with the mind, and our spiritual life will be compromised by the increasing amount of material attachments who again begin to enter our lives like a swarm of black ants. Mraps. One after the other. Some of them will carry something on their head. That is something which is such a problem that I had some struggle with my mind in the beginning when we gave the retreats. I had, and even nowadays, the retreat team knows this, that I'm saying to them, I don't know if we do the right thing. We provide the devotees an experience where they go up like this, and then afterwards, from reliable and statistically documented reports, we know that they all go down again. And sometimes it's the higher they rise, the harder they fall. Sometimes it's that. So I was struggling with my mind. Are we doing the right things? And especially I was asking myself, I mean, I still believe festivals, retreats are important, that we know there is something on the other side of my mind. There is something. Krishna consciousness is not an empty promise. Krishna consciousness can deliver the verse. And so on. But this point of the, you know, giving a peak experience, it's called an epiphany in complicated English words, but ein Höhepunkt, ein climax, a climatic experience of a spiritual sort, huh? And then they go back and they write, what will go on? I'm again Mr. Ordinary. So we thought, what can we start to do to help devotees, to take the retreat home and to make something out of the insights which permanently changes their life. At the end of the other retreats before this one and the Radha Desh retreat, I would always say with my most winning smile, now comes retreat two, my dear devotees. You will do fantastic. And my mind said, they will all fall down very hard from this experience and suffer and write me and write letters, and it didn't work with me, and you know, and so on and so forth. So I tried to smile it away, but it is and was a problem. Because of this quality of the human being, that he takes on the qualities with which he associates. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we find the shloka where it said that the mind of the human being is like a crystal which takes on the color of a nearby object. And in the purport, Jiva Goswami writes, just like a crystal takes on the red color of a hibiscus flower. Do you know hibiscus? It's a beautiful red flower. The color of the hibiscus is this. It's not this. This. This side. Huh? It's really beautiful. It takes on the crystal, just like the crystal takes on the color of a nearby object, and if it's a hibiscus flower, a hibiscus flower. In the same way, the human being takes on the qualities of his surroundings. Therefore, sadhu sangha is so important. Huh? That's a point to express the need for good association. So, we were struggling with this for a long time. To be quite honest, for 25 years, or it's when I became aware of this situation, that I went to Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is for my Krishna consciousness just a boost. It's an inspiration, an impulse. It's a great help for I somehow relate very much to the Holy Dham, and then I came back to Germany, and after 2 weeks, not 2 weeks. In the beginning, after 1 week, because I overate, because I was so hungry from being in Vrindavan, ate too much, and then came in the mode of tama, and so on. After some time, it came back, and I was struggling what to do. And thinking, asking so many questions to so many devotees, to so many. I even went to an internet page. Yes, and see if there is anything they can. Is this only happening in Krishna consciousness, or is it a widespread phenomena that after retreats people lose what they have obtained, and so on? And so it really was engaging my mind and really putting a question mark in my whole spiritual life and in my own service as one of the facilitators of these wonderful retreats. And then I came upon this idea, this fact of sankskara. It's a psychological concept that sankskara, a deep impression, is formed over a certain amount of time where a repeated input is coming into your awareness. And then it became, I had to think, because I'm not so good at thinking, so it took some time. And then finally we came up with this. It's something which we will give you after some time. When we come to the fourth point of this morning session. It's something which you can take with you. It's something which you can take in your hand, put it in your pocket. It has to be very practical. Take it on the ferry, fly to your America or wherever you have to go, and then when you are at what you consider home, when you have reached your base, you still have it. It's the kirtan arrow. Let me describe to you what this is. Krishna, I'm losing it. I have so much to. It really is so important. I'm sorry. Rewind. Clack. what can help is, see, I'm so enthusiastic, I'm losing my lecture. So we are now back to a sankskara is something which you do repeatedly over a certain amount of time, and which then creates a deep impression in your subconscious mind from which you react and plan your life. So this sankskara can be formed over something like 40 days. I really don't want you to think it's just so mechanical, okay, 40 days or 31 days or whatever. It depends really on you and the depth of your practice. But let us say over a certain amount of time, you do one thing new in your life and you just commit yourself to doing it. When you take home your Japa transformation workbook, at the beginning there is a little article. It's only 2.5 pages long. Anyone can read it, even though he may be very busy at home. And there are so many steps how you can commit to doing something new. Some of us have somehow difficulties to do something new in their life and commit to it and regularly do it, like doing a new diet and you just not eating milk products for 1.5 days, you know, it is or exercise program. Some have difficulties to start 10 push-ups every morning because they get too fat. They do it for maybe 3 days, and then they say, no, instead of doing push-ups, I do pizza ups, you know, or pizza downs, you know, I swallow them down, you know. Some of us have these difficulties, and you know, when it gets really difficult, this difficulty, there are psychotherapeutics who address this problem now. It's a problem. Something went wrong in your education. That's why this problem is there. We just can't commit to anything. We are just so, das beliebige Leben, sagt man in psychological German. The beliebige Leben, that's a real difficult one to translate. It's something you live your life according to whatever comes, you know, and you're just helpless to the inputs. So there is this article which I have checked with psychologists, you know, it's a spiritual article, but it has very, very down-to-earth suggestions how you can commit to something. You need to know this when you want to commit to relationships. You know, do you sometimes have this difficulty that you have no real deep friends because you just can't commit to a relationship and go through a relationship even when the going gets tough? The reason you can't do it is because you just can't commit. It's something which you need to learn in your life. So you commit to one to one spiritual practice after you return to so-called home, and then you do that for 30 days or 40 days, and then you will start going on automatic pilot. I think a little bit on Piyush. I had a discussion with Piyush. This is Piyush. I wanted to introduce you. Piyush, ganz kurz mal aufstehen. Nur ganz kurz. This is Bhakta Piyush. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Bhakta Piyush is, wie sagt man das in Englisch? Drachenflieger, bitte? A hang glider. You know, these are the things. They are 10 meters in one direction, 10 meters in one direction, and he flies in the air. And he makes competitions, and he earns his money, and is fabulously rich with this. It's a hang glider. Do you know what this is? Drachenflieger. I know this is a Lila Purushottam. Do you know the Yugoslavian word? Say it in many words. They are like butterflies. Flies. Yeah. Not so beautiful, but, you know, the idea is that. And they fly. And Piyush told me, you know, you might like to also do this one day, at least go Jai Gopal, maybe. And you might know, how do you do this? You know, fly. I'm a human being. How can I fly? You know, the art is you have to know two things. Speed and the winds. Favorable winds. And then you can fly. No problem. You have to go a little, you have to just somehow bring the thing that there's a right speed. Because if it's too slow, peng, you go down and become a sabji. You have to have the right velocity, and you have to know where are the winds. And then you go, can you do a salto? You can do a salto. Is difficult, yes, but not so easy. But a looping, you can do with the right speed and right wind. You can do amazing things like an eagle. So if you want your spiritual life to move very nicely, you have to introduce a good wind in your life. That is a spiritual habit. Something which you do regularly and which nourishes you, that carries you on. And you have to do it, you have to get some, I don't want to say here speed or velocity, you have to get some intensity in this, you have to be with it. And then you can fly high in the sky of Krishna consciousness. You can be a free soul. You can be a happy soul. You can be an empowered soul by the winds of a spiritual practice. Krishna's mercy will come into your life and it will carry you to amazing Krishna conscious experiences. Really. I want to tell you, it works. I was so happy and so moved when two devotees came to me, and I must say, I didn't expect this of one of the two devotees. I thought, I was thinking, should we do another kirtan retreat, yes or no? And I was thinking, no, this is too intense for the devotees. They want some festival and so on. And then I was mental again, like I'm about this. I mean, I think we should go on with kirtan retreats. It's not, but sometimes I'm also mental, like I think you know what that is. You have doubts, you know. And I talked with the devotees, you know, and I said to them, so how was your experience after the last retreat? They could only be this time for a few days with us, but they took the last retreat in its entirety. And I asked them, how was it? And, you know, I was looking at them and I was, in my eyes, I was saying to them, it was useless for you, isn't it? It didn't work for you. You know, I was a little bit, you know, in this ugh mood, you know. And they surprised me, especially this one devotee where I didn't think, well, you know, he's one of these devotees, he works very hard on his computer, you know, he rises and he may not take a shower in the morning because he's so fired up with computer work, and then he eats his breakfast and drinks his breakfast while he is on the computer and extremely creative and produces the next hit or whatever, and so on. And in the evening at 6 o'clock, my God, what's with my rounds? You know, I was so creative today, you know. He's a good devotee, first class devotee. The devotional mood is extremely prevalent, but he's maybe not this sadhaka. He's not like Gaura Hari, you know, who raises at 3:30 every day and chants all his rounds, not moving one inch left and right, you know, and pizza is Maya, and so on, you know. I mean, Gaura Hari is also, I don't want to give the impression that Gaura Hari, let me say it positively, he's not, how do you say it? He's flexible and he's not a fanatic, you know, or something like that. He's a nice devotee, but he's a monk. I would say he's like a monk, and not all of us are like monks, you know. We are like, Hare Krishna, 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 good idea. Thank you, Krishna, for this idea. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. You know, we are like this. What to do? We are from Balkan countries. And I'm also a little bit like this, I must admit. You know, when I'm in my riding mood, then no one, not even Gaura Hari, can force me to eat, you know. Later. They have to know in the kitchen. Sometimes later, you know, and I'm riding and a little spontaneous, what to do. But still, every one of us, so even this devotee said, you know, I took that Japa retreat workbook, transformation book, and I did the whole thing, the whole course, 40 days or 30 days, and my life changed every morning. I said, what do you do every morning? Every morning I went to this place and I just chanted. And I thought, my God, it works. If it works with this devotee, who is really not Mr. Monk, he's also a grihastha, so it's all right, you know, then it will work with everyone, you know, because this devotee is the representative of all spontaneity and creativeness, you know, and so on. So good devotee, first class devotee, that's a wonderful devotee, but you know what I want to say. So this is the good news. Although it's bad news that you will return and you will be like the crystal who takes on the environmental influences, but you can do something which creates a positive influence in your life and create a new habit. For this, we have given you the Japa Retreat Transformation Book. What is it? Japa Transformation Workbook. But I know that maybe not every single person it's a little book. It's maybe, and some of us just characteristically don't read in our life. So just to make it even more simple to everyone, it's on one little thing, and that everyone can do. It's really everyone, that we can even distribute on the street, and the person who's slightly interested in spiritual life can take to it. This is the Kirtan arrow. Please look back. There on the door, something has happened. What has happened is the five letters of the arrow represent the five important teachings of the Japa retreat, Japa and Kirtan retreat. A, alignment. Tune body, mind and heart to achieve full presence and attention. Avoid apparat. You don't have to write it down because it will be given to you. And nice, really, so aesthetic you won't believe it when you hold it. Second letter, R, relationship. Enter the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. Infuse your practice with this connection. You could say, connect, you know, please accept me, something like this. Huh? Next R, rendering service. Offer your chanting in the spirit of loving service. Share the glories of the holy name with others. That's like you do preaching service, like our Madhukari, after she went from the self-centered mode in the theater play, you know, after this almost, you have to say almost, lively girl, changed into a lively Krishna-centered girl, you know, rendering service, doing something for others in the service of Krishna consciousness. But during chanting, especially you have to chant for Krishna as one of the most important angas of devotional service. Oh, opening the heart. Cultivate the kirtan bhava of separation and longing experienced by Lord Gaurachandra. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feelings, not sentimental feelings. But, you know, Prabhupada has said to us, it's a very feeling festival, he called Ratha Yatra, a feeling festival. Why it's a feeling festival? Because it expresses the longing of the devotee to bring Krishna in the heart. Huh? Opening your heart. And we, welcoming the divine gift. Live in Sharanagati, surrender. And how to do this in terms of japa, we just enter a sacred space, then, you know, where you're not disturbed, then call out to Krishna, I'm yours. I'm yours, the holy name. Yet now I'm yours, you can have me at least for 2 hours, you know. I mean, you don't say this, but you can have me. I am there. I'm surrendering to this practice. Enter into the receiver mood and patiently await your gift from Nam Prabhu. You know, whatever Nam Prabhu will give, that we patiently await. Devotees have asked a question to this verse. This kirtan arrow is not my idea. It comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the, let me just find this quotation, yes, this Mundaka Upanishad, second canto. The Bhagavatam says, is it? The Vedic mantra is the bow, the pure living entity is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. Mundaka Upanishad says like this, Danu Grihitva Upanishadam Mahashtram Sharam Upasa Nishitam Samdadita Ayam Yatat Bhagavate Nachetasa Lakshyam Tat Evaksharam Somyavidhi. The devotee has taken the sacred syllable Om as the bow, as the great weapon. Let him place on it the arrow, sharpened by devotion. Then, having drawn it with a thought, directed to that which is, hit the mark, O friend, that which is the indestructible. This is Upanishadic language. It's a little philosophical and a little bit too much maybe for early in the morning. So let me take another translation. Om is the bow. You know, the mantra is the bow. The self is the arrow. The Supreme Brahman is called its aim. It is to be hit by a man and a woman who is not thoughtless. And then as the arrow goes to the target, he will reach the eternal Brahman. Wonderful. Speaks so much to the heart. Oh, yes. So devotees have said, but this analogy doesn't work. So the Hare Krishna mantra, in which is the essence of all mantras, and there is also the Om, that we have to take, okay, and we have to direct it to Radha and Krishna, like there is Radha and Krishna on the wall. You can see beautiful picture, beautiful meditation. And then the purified self, the pure self is the arrow. But who's shooting? Where's the archer? Do you follow the question? The kirtan is of the Hare Krishna mantra is the bow. The goal, the zeal, the target, Zielscheibe, is Radha and Krishna. And the living entity is the arrow. But who shoots here? Well, you need to think now, not just say something, you know, Krishna is always all right, but in this case it's not. Arjuna. O Noah of the Bhagavad Gita, glories unto you. Yes, Arjuna is an archer, you are totally correct. Listen now very careful. If you don't understand this, you won't be able to use this, you know. The Bhagavatam says the pure living entity is the arrow. The archer is you who is not yet pure. You take your soul, Krishna Jivani, that essence of you who is a wonderful devotee. You take this. You means who you are now. If I speak of Sachinandan Swami, an aging old man who has a sad story in this material universe, which he hopes to end one day. You know, I come and sit down. Okay, I may not like to chant now. I may like to make a forest walk. But I will chant now, and I will, because my real self wants to go to Radha Krishna. I know this. And this is what is meant with this. You, who you are now, Mr. Ajata Ruchi Sadaka, what is this? A practitioner whose taste has not yet been born. Should connect with your pure self, because there is something pure in every one of us. You wouldn't be here if you wouldn't have that purity in you. And it is on this strength where Prabhupada said to his disciples, you are all pure devotees. He referred to that pure and spiritual essence which is alive in all of you, Vijay Gauranga. Do not despair. Everyone has it. Even the most troubled devotee has it. Even the one who is secretly smoking a cigarette when he is around the corner. I know we don't have anyone here who does this. I'm just giving an example of someone who has difficulties in his or her spiritual life. Even he can take it. You don't have to be a pure soul to use the kirtan arrow. You take your soul, which is pure, and you go, you fly, you go, Hare Krishna. This is the analogy of the Kirtan era. Therefore, I don't know if you can see in the distance, but well, anyways, you will get it. Look at this wonderful. Wow, it's so good. You can always put it and make a new light with it, you know. There's a Hare Krishna mantra around it. Look how beautiful. Can you see? Or, and there's you, the archer. There is the pure you, the arrow. There is the Hare Krishna mantra, and zip, you will go. And I think you have all experienced this in the 12-hour kirtan. You have actually, many of you have made a very good spiritual experience. I saw this with our Dharma group and myself. We were standing at the kirtan side, and at least I had decided not to dance. I think we had the same similar decision, because like and like attracts each other. So I was thinking, I'm standing here, he also doesn't dance, so I hope he will not throw me into the circle that I have to dance or something like this, you know. So I was just... Then all of a sudden I felt, yeah, Krishna, Krishna. What is the melody we sing at the moment? What is the mantra we sing at the moment? Yes, I know this. Yes, of course. I started to sing, and the last thing I knew is the kirtan was over. You know, the soul had gone somewhere. It worked. Like yesterday, we saw in the drama, in one drama, how Haridas Thakur looked at the sun. But for why is already the sunrise? I have not started it. This is ting 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 sunrise. You know, he chanted the whole day and night. This is unfair. Why is already a new day there? What happened? The arrow was flying. That happened. Not that happened. That is his life. You know, he's only here to give us an example. Namacharya. He's the Acharya of the holy name, Haridas Thakur. So this will be given to you. Oh, it's so good. I will make it in a lamp. This is so, I recognize. Just see. So good. So good. This is an example of how it works. Is Ajamil. Ajamil was not a saint. He was a sinner. After his experience at his deathbed, where he chanted the name of his son in great panic, he was saved from death, and he went to Haridwar, Rishikesh, and engaged in the kirtan performance, or in the chanting and deity worship there. And after 2 weeks, the arrow was flying. He went back home, back to Godhead. To pull it, you have to do your sadhana, and then we always say patiently wait until, you know. This is something we want to give home with you. Take it, and I want to give you also a recommendation. If you found something of value in your retreat, then share it with others when you come home to your hometown. Don't, when they ask how was it, and you say medium or good or whatever you want to share, whatever you thought was there and can be shared, share it. How do we say shared bliss is?
Shared bliss is better than individual.
Shared bliss is better than individual bliss. And I very much like this conclusion of one theater play. Just Just arrange for bhakti sanghas at your home. Invite people. You know, have some instruments. Celebrate the holy name. That will do very well, very well for you. Tell them, here's this arrow. I mean, this is really far out, you know. And afterwards, you can go maybe shooting with arrows, you know, to just bring the concept into your life. Yes. So, this is all what I wanted to say. I also want to say something personal. I'm so grateful that you have listened with attention to the presentations, and that you have accepted whatever I and my team has offered to you, and you were really very, very engaged. I was really thinking when our talented MCs yesterday, I forgot who it was of the two. Thank you, by the way, Dharma Gobind Krishnaji, when he was so good. You are made for this, you know. And when they said, there was this comment, you know, indicating that we absolutely had no time for anything, you know, you had to run to take your bath 2 minutes in the Adria, then you had to run to meet your buddy, then you had to run to go to the next, what is it called, presentation workshop, you know, then you had to run. My God, the next presentation starts, and he has said we have free time all the day, but we have to be at the presentation, and I know he will look who's there and who's not there, then there was the 12 hours kirtan. When do we breathe? That somehow like this, it was very nicely expressed. I went like, oh. Said, I'm so bad. I'm a troublemaker to devotees, you know. I want to defend myself a little, you know, because I have also a false ego. The reason why we do this is because I know you have only 1 week time to come into to get totally different inputs in your life. It's only 1 week. I have you for only 1 week. That's nothing. Your life has you for everything else in the year. So that's why we make it a little full, but we will go through the retreat. Now we have a very good team. Our Danuta Maharaj has agreed to give us a feedback, and he's very good in organizing events of a spiritual nature, and he will, you have given your feedbacks. I know we have to drive it a little bit more free time, a little bit more. I know this. I will, but what to do? I'm from a German father. What to do? Some like it intense, you know. But I'm seeing that it was a little bit, we will do it a little bit more eatable, you know, the retreat. Good. Thank you very, very much from my heart. You may say, but why are you thinking? I have heard devotees saying, but why Sachinanda Swami thanks us? We should thank him after all. He also worked hard. The reason is because if you want to chant, you have to serve the holy name. And this is a service opportunity where anyone who is a facilitator gets the golden opportunity to share the holy name with others, and he is the one who benefits the most from the retreat. Yes? You have given me a present. You have allowed me to serve the holy name in whatever way, faulty way, I can do it. And I know there's some mercy. I feel it already. Yesterday I chanted my best rounds. Yesterday I went into the coast because I wanted to chant a little bit. I don't want to, with full attention and apply what I'm trying to teach, and with my best rounds ever in this life, yes. In every retreat it gets better. I'm a very selfish man. I'm not so holy as you think. So thank you very much. It means a lot for me because I have deep faith that to go forward in the chanting is all I need to do. To go forward in my relationship to Radha and Krishna is all I need to do in this life. And this is the gift you give me by allowing me to be there, to do this service, and not getting upset when I say something wrong and foolish, like I make sometimes comments, and I know I do. I should not tell a name of a devotee and say most properly so and so likes to. And then I say something and everyone goes, ha, 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 about this. This is very offensive, you know. So I'm also sensitive. I will improve. Good. So, thank you very much. It really is, don't say thank you back to me now. It's really from the heart. I really mean it. It's not some nice words. It's my experience that serving devotees to chant, that they can improve their chanting is very beneficial. I would now like to announce the rest of the program, or maybe our announce, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Now I want to ask the sannyasi who has given pleasure to all of our hearts, our Danuda Maharaj, to address us with a message, how to take the retreat home. This is the idea of this session. Huh? It's called taking the retreat home. Let us not forget, my message in one word, do it. Just do it. Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Oh, is it on? You can hear me?
Okay. Who knows what my name means in Sanskrit? Raise your hand. Okay. Siddheshri? The holder of the bow. So, who is a better person to shoot the final arrow? He only told me a few minutes ago that I would do this. I'm reminded of something that our dear godbrother, Burijan Prabhu, revealed to me one day, because the history of ISKCON is that it's made up of fads. You know what fads means? Like things that just catch on because other people are doing it. That's called a fad. You know, like, you may wear something, you may do something. You don't. So he said he was really just hoping that the next fad in ISKCON became kirtan. And I think to carry on the real message of this, you've talked about the internal development and relationship to the holy name. I'll speak a little bit more about specifically kirtan. I think you have to bond together within your families. I think you have to bond together within your temples to create a kirtan culture. You know, people come to me often, and it's a fact, they're overwhelmed within their particular situations, as Satchinandana was describing. And sometimes they ask me, what can I do? And I think deeply, because I know, family and work, etc. And so there's one or two things I say, but if there's one instruction I give them, is to take a veil of any opportunity you have to do kirtan. And I follow that now in my own personal life for my own spiritual development. I tell you, they started in New York City, these 12-hour kirtans every month in the Bhakti Center. Fantastic kirtaneers. And even people on the periphery outside, they also come, sometimes good musicians, classical violinist comes every time, and, you know, some good guitarist and things, and they fit in. But that's for me. I'm really, and sometimes I don't know when it's going to happen. I always shift my schedule. I have this lecture in Boston. They've been asking me to come, you know, in some kind of outside place, and it's on a Friday night, and I was supposed to do something on Saturday, and then I found out that that's the 19th of July, and the 20th is the kirtan in New York, 4 hours away. I moved my Saturday program to Thursday, and I'm going to drive 4 hours to be at that kirtan. So a kirtan culture, and I see in, I have a group of disciples. They live together in a little bit near New York City, and they all have big families. And when I do a program at that person's home, they have a beautiful temple in their home. Westerner, you know, an engineer, he had a nice child, and his wife got pregnant. He found out that I was there when he got the news that his wife's having triplets. Yeah. And they have four children. You know, they have four children.
Already.
Yeah, they have. Now they're 2-3 years old. And that's a lot. Another has five. And one person in the community has seven. When I do a program, there's at least 50 children. But imagine that. But they take a veil of this. I see even in New York City, you know, an hour away, there's some kirtan program. There they are. You know, take a veil. If there's one thing you can do, take a veil of kirtan. And I think those people that are in responsibility of leadership should really think deeply how to create this kirtan culture. You know, so that people can more and more, and as you say, in the homes, and the more that kirtans are going on in different places at different times of the week, in different people's homes and different festivals, the more we can take this retreat. And I have to say, sometimes I've heard in the retreat, the example of the place of the demons is New York. Both from here in the thing, let me just say something in defense of my people. this is from New York. And there's a letter by Prabhupada. He said, New York is favored by me because I started the movement there. I wish all New Yorkers to Krishna consciously advance. But the kirtan culture there is amazing in that particular area, not only among the devotees, but non-devotees. I asked one, this professor, he wrote this book on the Yoga Sutras, a good friend of mine. He said, look, you know, I want to get more now into sadhu. Can we do something at my house? He lives in Princeton. I said, okay, we started kirtan. And I asked one lady who's kind of a disciple of mine to kind of organize at his house. And it's just amazing. She has a newsletter. In that one little city, it's not just devotees, the culture of kirtan, there's at least 20, 25 kirtans a month in a little city, just kirtan culture. And the thing also that's, I think, very, very nice about the children that are growing up in that area, they don't aspire to be rock stars. They aspire to be a kirtaneers. Because there's such a kirtan culture. There's one a devotee, Ananta. I don't know if you've ever seen Ananta. African-American devotee. And, you know, everyone wants to be Ananta. They want to pick up a madanga. They want it. So the kirtan culture, also for children, you have to create a kirtan culture. So I wrote down different things, you know. So I think the kirtan culture has to be created. We ourselves have to want to participate and go where we can for kirtans. And another thing in that I would say is to make an effort to learn kirtan, both individually for yourself and for the mission to create that kirtan. There's so many great musicians here, you know, too. I saw that yesterday. Wow. You know, I can say myself, you know, everyone has different impressions. Some skaras, you know, music is not my biggest forte, although I do kirtan, but, I had a Kinchana Krishna, you know, whenever I get a chance, sit down. He's such an expert teacher. Anybody can play harmonium, really. You know, and he has a little thing, wrote down, you know, so after I learn, I can read the music and play the kirtan. And, you know, you should create that also. People that can teach kirtan and just create a culture. And then it'll be easier for the devotees to learn in that way. So I would say create a kirtan culture in terms of sadhana. I'll tell you a story. In Delhi, I stay at this Indian's house, a joint family, and there's brothers together. And the older brother is one of the greatest kirtaneers I ever heard. Just he's in the, you know, he's Meri man mandir meke kabar tum ajaho girit hari vanawari girit hari vanahari Meri man mandir meke kabar. Oh, girit hari, just one, come into the temple of my heart. When I stay at that house, you know, in these joint Indian families, people may be initiated into different lines. So one of the brothers is in a different line, and I saw the sadhana that his guru gave him is to chant kirtan 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening before the deities. And he sits there and just chants this mantra. And it impressed me, too. And I've also adopted that in my own sadhana now. There has to be some kirtan, even if you're alone. There has to be some kirtan. So learn kirtan so I think these things. A kirtan culture is the best way. Most people are not gorhari. They're in the world. They're not monks. That's the majority of the people. They have responsibilities. Work together. Create a kirtan culture. Do kirtan yourself. And I think the people who lead the mission now have to facilitate that. And the mission character, Prabhupada said, a child is the father of man. That's the next father, is the children. That's how a mission grows. You create the kirtan culture, That's what your children will want to do. They'll want to get it from the early age, you know, from 5 years old. They're learning Madanga. There's someone teaching Madanga. They want to go. And those people who grew up in the movement and now are, you know, 30 years old, and Goshi, you know, people like him, there's, you know, so many people like him. I mean, a group, a core, you know, and you know, if you want to be cool, you better learn how to play Madanga, and you better be, and they're strict. I mean, you know, I saw this one guy, Ananta, you know, they want to learn Madanga for him, right? He's in the temple, he makes all the young kids clean all the bathrooms first. Because you have to be humble to do that. So there's this incredible kirtan culture. And it not only affects the children coming up, Akinchana. You know, I remember Akinchana Krishna when he came to 20, he came first to 26 Second Avenue. That's where I used to preach. And, I remember he came, you know, he was a musician of sorts in that way. And, you know, but his spiritual life only flourished when he met these people that grew up in the movement that were doing kirtan. And they're his gurus. You know, he goes every Wednesday night in the Radha Govinda Mandir, where these people are doing kirtan. After the program is finished, they do kirtan. And he sits there, and that's how he learned kirtan and how he became involved in kirtan. So this is so important. So those are the three things. I'll just finish with one thing. Just share this because it'll be good for your retreats. You know, I was just thinking of an example where you said, you know, you don't chant Krishna, Krishna chants you, that the holy name descends. And we also saw that drama with Nam Prabhu came up. He manifests. I thought of two examples too. When that Dr. Fakir Mohan came to my retreat and we started talking, he revealed to me that he had 6 heart attacks and that the doctors, as he was unconscious, he was chanting the holy name. And another example of that is, and I this is really wonderful too, is Prabhupada had a godbrother called Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji. And Prabhupada said he was a Paramahamsa. And when you would meet him, he would only speak, he would only chant the holy name. You ask him anything, you go, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He would only speak. Anyway, now that Krishna gives me a chance to tell the story I was going to tell, so I can end with that. But before I tell that story about him always chanting, and it also is a story that indicates what really Prabhupada's mission was in terms of kirtan. When he was sick, I went to the hospital to see him, you know, and he was really sick. And then when he was there, he went someplace else. The doctor personally told me when they put the stethoscope on his chest, the doctors heard, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He was unconscious. They heard it in his heart. Nam Prabhu had appeared. And two of our best kirtaneers in ISKCON, the Bhav had transferred to him. Before Radhanath Swami was in ISKCON, he was staying in Imlital. He had typhoid. And that's where Krishnadas Babaji stayed. So he was hearing all day that holy name. And same thing with B.B. Govinda Swami in Vrindavan. Every Ekadasi he would go because Krishnadas Babaji was chanting. So this is just the story. It's a little instructive, but a little entertainment at the end. But it's... And I was there. I went to, we used to go to see him. We do a Harinam and we went and he was staying in one temple and he would sit in an old room on a bed. And we gave him the Prabhupada Lilamrita as a gift. Then we came back after a week and we never heard him speak English before because he, you know, but still we gave him the book. He would go, Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just all day long, 20, never stops chanting. And then, we said, did you read the book? And then in perfect English, she said, you know, when your Guru Maharaj took sannyas, I was there. When Prabhupada took sannyas, I used to organize a festival in that temple where he took sannyas to celebrate his sannyas. And there were only about 5 or 6 people there. And one of them was Krishnadas Babaji. So he's telling us this story now, and it was amazing. And he said, when you do, he said, when I was at the yagya, do you know what I was doing? And everyone went, yes. Because he was chanting Hare Krishna. And then he told us this story that, you know, if you ever go to a fire yagya, you've seen it. The priest chants mantras. And then when he's not chanting mantras, there's kirtan. And then when he's fixing something. And then when he has to chant mantras again, he goes like this, and the kirtanir stops. So Prabhupada's sitting, you know, ready to get sannyas, and the priest, you know, is chanting mantras, and then he's doing something, he's having the kirtan go, and then he's doing something, and then he's goes like this to say to Krishnadas Babaji, you know, now stop the kirtan. So Krishnadas Babaji, he's telling us this. He said when the priest went to Prabhupada, went to Krishnadas Babaji to stop the kirtan, he said Prabhupada looked around and went like this. The priest went like this, topped the kirtan, and even though Prabhupada's in the yagya, Prabhupada went like this. And then Krishnadas Babaji looked at us, and I can never forget what he said. I'll try to show you what he said. So Krishnadas Babaji's telling, and when the priest said like this, Prabhupada said like this, and then he looked at us and he said, then I knew he would be the leader of the Hare Krishna movement. Okay. So, the arrow. Thank you, Hare Krishna.